Sell Letter.
Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and that's who I am, Brilliant Ideas, coming to you again on our wonderful Blog Talk Radio program. And we welcome you to the show this morning. We have a star-studded group of people joining us this morning. We've got George Geary. You guys may know him from Facebook. He's a pastry chef extraordinaire. He's got quite a story. He'll be joining us in about 10 to 15 minutes. And then we have the chef to the stars, Saber Ricci, and insanely good chef Brett McKee will be joining us, coming on together, and I'm sure that'll be insanely good, and God knows what we'll be talking about, but it'll probably be lots of star-studded information coming from Saber, so that should be fun. And then last but not least, we will have the farming sensations, the Peterson Farm Brothers, joining us. If you haven't seen them on YouTube, they got some really cool videos about farming. So we got quite a show scheduled this morning. Appreciate everyone joining us. And speaking of joining us, this should be our Food News Jersey Style Girl. Good morning, Lori. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I didn't think you were going to call in. I was a little worried there for a second.
Actually, I had a fly in the window, and it was making the loudest noise. I was trying to kill it. I can't go on. The fly was so loud. It was so loud. I had to.
That's like that joke. Waiter, why is there a fly in my soup? Anyway, I don't see our good buddy, A.A. Ron. He hasn't checked in yet, but he's supposed to be joining us this morning. And it's going to be a short food news segment here for you, Laurie, because we've got a slam-packed show with lots of guests coming on this morning. So did you want to start off with any – it's a great show, I know. Do you want to start off with any brief food news stories before we go to our guests?
Sure. I have something here. It's about EasyPass, and I love this idea. It says, how would you like to use your EasyPass to pay for your drive-up window fast food? Can you imagine whoever thought of this? Uh-oh.
It's a great idea. I love the idea.
Oh my gosh, you got cut off your system. Okay. Well, I have EasyPass. When you live in New Jersey, you have to have it because of all the up and down the parkway. You definitely have to have EasyPass. But it says a new kind of payment is available for drive-thrus, making it easier for people on the East Coast to grab their food and go. It's called iDriveThru. Fooders use the EasyPass devices to pay for their meals at the window. I think this is such a clever idea.
It is.
Okay. Well, 5 Wendy's restaurants in Staten Island have adopted this approach, and they're fairly satisfied so far with the results. It says the perks about this program are that consumers can accumulate points, which can be redeemed for food discounts in future orders.
Wow.
So there you go.
Well, you're not handling the old dirty money anymore, and I think it's a great idea. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised they haven't started this till now. But
Yeah.
What a cool idea. And then you get a bill in the mail from Easy Pass, so you have all your tolls and all your fast food all together on one big bill.
There you go. You can be quicker. Grab your food and run.
And
anything else?
Someone,
I have a few
minutes. Do what?
Do I have a few more minutes to read something else?
Yes, you do, because Aaron hasn't called in, so far away.
Oh, boy. Well, here's another little quick thing about kale. We love our kale. There is an intense interest in kale these days, and trendy kale is helping drive large volumes of the greens this season. Because of Thanksgiving, there's been good demand for kale, and it is the flavor of the month. I guess they're picking up flavors of the month now. There have been a lot of inquiries about kale, about mustard, and turnips. And the prices for kale will likely stay low for some time. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Just keep on talking. I'm just listening.
Oh, no. Well, it sounds like my phone is cutting out.
No, you're fine. Keep talking.
Okay.
It's me. I'm pushing buttons over here because I've got phones coming in that don't make any sense to me, so I'm probably pushing buttons, interrupting you. Just talk about
maybe
the kale while I'm playing over here.
Well, it says, Rawl and Sons expect to ship greens from South Carolina through the winter, especially the collards and the kale. They say this is the greens time of year, and in early December, the company expects to start shipping from Florida and Texas. Rawl said, Thanksgiving was a very strong pull, and we expect the same for Christmas. So what it all boils down to is eat your kale, but in moderation, like everything.
Yeah, kale is good for you. What is it, vitamin K?
Oh, my gosh, there were so many vitamins. You know, it's funny, my niece is 15. She's into it now. She's into eating really healthy. And she said she's been buying it. So, see,
my grandmother used to make kale and collard greens and collard greens. But then she would throw a half ton of pork into it, so that probably ruined the health of it. But throw some fat back in there. But, yes, eat your kale. And I have no clue. The phones over here are going nuts, and I've got someone calling in. The phone number says, the area code is 111. The phone number is 111-1111. So who in the heck has a phone number like that?
Those are angel numbers. I don't know. Someone's looking over you.
So hang on a second, because I don't know if it's our co-host or like you said, it's an angel calling from heaven. I don't know who this is, 1111. Good morning. Who's calling in?
Hello?
Hello? Is this George?
It is. How are you? And am I 111111?
Yeah, your phone number comes up as 1111111111111. I mean, this is straight ones. And so how did you pull that? Are you just like number one?
Well, that's what they say. That's amazing.
Well, I guess, Laurie, we're going to go to our first guest. How about that intro, George? We've got George Geary calling in on 111111111, and he's calling into the show. And George is I call you pastry chef extraordinaire. And George has got a resume as long as my arm. And George, welcome to the show, and tell everybody who's listening a little bit about George Geary and what you're up to. And probably if you read your resume, that'll take up 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, that would take too long, but thank you so much. Let's see, I'm working on my 10th book right now, all about historical restaurants of Los Angeles that aren't there anymore. So just a lot of history, researching and working on that. And I do a lot of morning television across the country lately, and a lot of Thanksgiving things last week. So I was teaching the world how to make...
You were in Texas. Weren't you in Texas and California last week?
Yeah. And right now I am in 9-degree weather here in Chicago.
Oh, lucky you.
Yes.
Well, I have to tell you, George, your book, you sent me your book about cheesecake, and that book is amazing. I mean, it makes you drool just by turning and looking at the photographs, and I'm a big cheesecake fan anyway. That book.
Yeah, back in the – I first worked on – my first book was all on cheesecake. The one essentially was the new revised book that came out about 5 years ago. And it's a really good seller. People don't think that they can make cheesecake, and they think it's a difficult process. and it doesn't take too long. You can make a cheesecake today and freeze it and pop it out 3-4 months later, and nobody knows that it has been frozen for so long. So it's an easy, easy pastry to do, but people look at it as difficult.
Laurie, do you hear that? I go to Walmart, George, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but I have before anyway.
You go where?
I go to Walmart. I go to Walmart.
Where?
Now you got to go to George's cookbook. You got to go to George's cookbook instead.
That's right. I'm going to George's cookbook. We got to learn how to make these, and they do look very easy in your cookbook to make. So
it's a beautiful book,
and it is beautiful. I'm a cheesecake fan, big time, and the Walmart cheesecake, even though it's okay, I'm sure yours are much better.
I've never had a Walmart cheesecake. I didn't know they made cheesecakes, but they do everything else there. But that's impressive. Yeah, back in 1984, 86, around in there, I got into cheesecakes when I started doing all the cheesecakes for ABC, the Golden Girls.
Okay.
And that's when we would do 7 cheesecakes for Friday night tapings.
Well, one thing I need to ask you, you had something mm-hmm. to do with, back in the day, with Robin Leach and the Food Network. You guys were kind of started the whole Food Network, right?
Yeah, I forget about that. That was 20 years ago now, and I was 10 years old. And, I went I'm glad you think it's funny. Yeah, I went across the country with him, and we went into small markets like Iowa and places that we were trying to sell the system on the cable networks. So we would go into a convention hall and talk about the Food Network, and then we would broadcast it back to New York, where the stations were, Donna Hanover, she was the Mayor Giuliani's former wife, she was the news anchor. And so we would go back and forth with what was going on in that town and talk about food and things like that. So, yeah, that was before, right? I had worked for the Walt Disney Company, and they let everybody go. And I was looking around and thought, well, this looks pretty good. So I started touring with them.
Well, look what's happened now after 20 years. A lot has happened to Food Network. And I really didn't realize until I was reading your bio that Robin Leach and yourself were involved. And I hope you got stock in every single company.
Not at all. I think
no?
I got an apron. And people say, where's Robin Leach today? And if you go to Las Vegas, you turn on your television set, he will commentate on where the best buffets are in town. So that's where he is 20 years later.
Well, believe it, Laurie,
I am. He's really, he's very nice, and, I actually had him years ago on the cover of my magazine. I was in the magazine business and publishing for 20 years, over 20 years, but I had Robin Leach on the cover one time. Yeah, he's very nice.
Yeah, we had a great time. You know,
and she was in the magazine business, too, George, when she was 10.
Yeah, see what happened?
Yep.
We all were early starters, you know. It was just like the past 2 years, I've worked on ABC's The Taste with Anthony Bourdain. And it was the same type of thing. See, I would taste the food before Anthony tasted it, which I think is crazy because some of the things he eats. Yeah. So people would come in and try out for the show in the major cities. I was here in Chicago at the time doing that show last spring. And then this last summer, I was in New York working on it. So we would taste the food and get to see what America is really trying to make and why they want to be on a game show, because I call those game shows.
Now, by the way, too, people that are listening, if you want to find out more about George, you can find out more at his website, which is georgegeary.com, and we've got a link here on the show that all you do is click, and it takes you to George, the website. And, George, you mentioned the new cookbook that you're coming out with about all the old restaurants in Los Angeles. You want to tell us more about what that project's about and when that book is coming out?
Yeah, it should be out next fall, and I highlighted 60 restaurants from about 1940 to 1970. and places mostly movie stars would have gone to, and or history, or a lot of stars owned, and they still do, own restaurants or have interest in them. So I would highlight a couple recipes from each place, a little dirt on this place, because I worked in a number of them back in the early days. Like Mal Maison Restaurant that started Wolfgang Puck's empire. He worked there in on Melrose, and I was doing apprenticeship work in the pastry kitchen. And all the history of that place, even the underground history, I kind of sometimes mention some of the stuff, like John Sweeney. He was a chef there, and he, not allegedly, but he did kill his girlfriend, and it was Dominic Dunn's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if there's a lot of everyone said watch out for him in the kitchen. And so I think he got 3 years in jail, and then he came back and started working at a place called The Chronicle. And he was having some problems, so they changed his name, and I think he's in Seattle area now. But there's a lot of different history on all these different restaurants. And then I love architecture, so it's kind of like, what is there now? Is it another restaurant, or has it been bulldozed, or what? And who was the architect on that building at the beginning? So if I have that information, it's kind of like the Hollywood, C.C. Brown's was a chocolate fudge place where they created the Hot Fudge Sundae back in 1909.
Huh.
And it was on Hollywood Boulevard, and it was just bulldozed this past week, so... It's
now,
some sad
is it
thing.
Is it a cookbook, too? It's a cookbook
history book
about the restaurant.
Right. It'll fall under architecture, history, and the recipes. So there'll be a number of recipes that are pretty original also, like the Brown Derby. I have a recipe in there for paprika chicken, and I'll have the original that works because they've all been tested, but we wouldn't eat that way anymore, where it was chicken where you would boil it in heavy cream. And I just don't think our palates go for the heavy cream chicken for your Friday night dinner. So there are some options on the recipes also of making them more today's friendly. And it was amazing. The ingredient that I found in a lot of the recipes of those years was celery seed, which I thought was fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I always thought you said buttermilk or maybe lots of butter, but...
Celery seed was a big recipe ingredient back then, which I thought that was kind of different. But then, like, Dudley Moore had a restaurant in Venice that was popular, 72 Market it was called, and I just made the meatloaf the other day from that, and it very good, but I would change it up a little bit just for today's standards. So I'll have the original in it.
Are there photos in the book, George? A lot of photos?
Yes. Yeah. There'll be historical pictures and even the original phone numbers and the original address.
A lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of going into downtown LA to the public library and working in the research and the menu departments. That's another thing. I think the menus of the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, and UNLV have the largest menu collections. And those are fascinating to go through the history. So I've been working on that for about 3 months.
The libraries don't let you take those books out. You have to stay there and do that kind of research. I mean, most libraries, I don't know how
right.
they are. But I know in New Jersey you have to sit there and do all that research and write it because they don't let you take it out. So, yeah, you spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, well, the menu collections you can see online. In fact, if you've never gone on the New York Library menu collection, everybody can help the menu collection by they've all been scanned, and they need people to read the menus, if that makes sense. Once you go online, you'll understand. It'll have a menu from like Daniel's, and it might be handwritten to where you need to have a format. So what they've asked people in the public, if you've got some time, you read a menu and you tell what that menu says in digital format. And it's all on the website on the New York library. It's a great way of finding out. And you can also cross-reference when was the first time that they had, like, turtle soup, or when was the last time that was on the menu, because mm-hmm. they're done by dates also. And they'll have George Washington's menu from when he ate at a certain restaurant as a event or something like that, or the Masons have had dinners in different restaurants. So the New York and Los Angeles Library, and then UNLV out in Las Vegas, they have a huge menu collection.
You have a book now, too, that you just recently introduced. And what's that called?
The newest book is All on Donuts.
Oh, my favorite subject.
I shouldn't say I'll never, but I did last spring. I did a story for USA Today on, I just called it the top donut stores in America, and people are so upset that I haven't included theirs. And I only could include 10. And so I didn't put any from, I would do one from California, like one from the East Coast. So I spread it around the country. And I have never seen so many Twitter followers after that get upset that I didn't include their favorite donut place. And even in Los Angeles, we have one place that does fresh peach donuts. But they're only in season for 2 months, so I couldn't really write that was the best donut store in California because only for 2 months. So, the new book was all on 250 best donuts fried and baked.
Well, you know, donut shop, like in California, there must be a donut shop on every corner, literally every corner. Some corners they have two. So, there must be like 50,000 donut shops, so... You're never going to find your favorite one, but is Krispy Kreme part of your donut?
I didn't use any chains at all. I didn't use any chains. And then Krispy Kreme came into California, and it didn't do well after a while.
No, they
did. Oversaturated the market. And one of my favorite places is here in Chicago. You'd think I lived here. I was here 3 weeks ago, and here I'm back again. It's called the Donut Vault, and I took the whole cast and crew the Taste when we were here. And you stand in line at about 7 in the morning, and they sell them until they run out, and they tweet how many people are in line and what their flavors are. And they only have 4 flavors a day. And they are the tastiest donuts you've ever had. That's probably one of my top favorites. Then there's Voodoo Donuts was in it in Seattle, in Portland. And Bob's Donuts in California was the one I used at the farmer's market because when I'd go to the studio and work, I would take dozens of donuts, and everybody would think they were the great. There's two types of donut stores, I think. They're the old-fashioned, the ones that you think of in your mind, the cake donut with the chocolate icing, the really good.
Right.
And then there's the crazy ones with green tea and bacon and things like that. So those are my two types of donut stores that I was going for.
I don't think I've found a donut yet that I don't like.
There's some healthy. I mean, like even the donut plant in New York, they're pretty healthy, and I think they're very tasty. And that was my New York pick, was the donut plant. But then they're becoming more franchised because they're over in Asia now. They sold rights and stuff like that.
So if people want to get your books, like the Donut book or the Cheesecake book or the upcoming book about the restaurants in L.A., they can find that on your website. I guess can they also go to Amazon and find your books?
Normally they can, yeah. Sometimes Amazon is out of them. And in fact, I have a sauce book that I did a few years ago, and Amazon was selling them. Everyone thinks Amazon's cheaper, and I thought it was funny because we were out of print for a few months, and Amazon had a few copies, and they raised the price up, and I hope nobody bought one, but they were $500 a piece is what they were listed at. And I thought, no, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. I'm not worth $500, trust me. trust me.
What do you get with that book for $500?
Exactly. I come over and make the sauce for you. But besides the writing and the teaching across the country, I also work for Holland America Cruise Lines, so I'm on and off their ships a lot. In fact, next month I'll be in Lima, Peru.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah, I'm going to
George,
you're not very busy.
You're not very busy, are you?
No, not at all. Not at all. And the last thing I would say would be my culinary tours, because I do a lot of food tours. It'll be my 18th season this year, taking groups to the south of France, and I do that every May.
Oh, cool. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about George and all the things he's doing, you can go to www.georgegeary.com, and you can follow George also on Facebook. And, George, we appreciate you joining us this morning, and I want to know how you got that cool phone number out of Chicago, 111, but we'll talk about that later. But you're welcome back anytime, and thank you. And everybody out there, go out and buy his books and check out his new book and come see us again.
Thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
All right, you too. All right, everybody, check him out. And we're going to take a brief break. Yeah. And, Laurie, I do see my other sidekick hanging in the wings. He's lurking out there. He did show up. We're going to play a quick ad, and we'll be right back here. And we'll be joined afterwards by Faber Ricci and Chef Brett McKee. Everybody, hang tight. We'll be right back.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Like the man says, check out biggreenegg.com. Go out and get yourself a Big Green Egg. You can punch in your zip code, find a dealer near you. And I cooked on the Big Green Egg a duck and a turkey for Thanksgiving, and it turned out fantastic. So like I say, go to biggreenegg.com and get yourself a Big Green Egg. We'll be taking another break here, and we'll be bringing back Laurie and A.A. Ron, and then we'll bring on our guests. Everybody hang tight.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
And that, I don't know where in the heck are you, Aaron? I hear like noise in the background. Are you at the freaking wrestling match again?
I am, and I actually got roped into coaching JV, so I'm actually coaching JV wrestling right now. So, yeah.
Welcome to the show there, A.A. Ron. And I know couple of weeks you've been busy with wrestling matches and Thanksgiving and all that. So thank you for joining us. Are you going to be able to stick around with us, or do you have to go do some coaching?
I have a 125 weight class coming up next, which will be the next match, and then I'll have to call back right after that match. But so, yeah. So I called in. The whole plan was I was coming here today for the wrestling event, hanging out. I was going to take a break from 11:30 to 1 from wrestling and be able to be on the show and hang out. And then I got here, and they completely changed the format of the whole deal, and Coach needed a second hand, so he stuck me coaching JV today.
That was like fun. So as a coach of wrestling, all you got to do is yell, pin him, right?
No, that's true. Yeah, pretty much. Kick him in the face. Get on the top rope. Come off. Elbow. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff we just yell.
I just played our little ad, by the way, and I want to mention about that. And people have probably seen it on Facebook, and we're working on a project to – in 2014, to hopefully take this crazy Green Ideas radio and work on 24/7, 360. Chef guests, or actually be more than guests, will be actual hosts of TV. We're going to have a network. So that little ad I just played about stay posted and standby in 2014. Keep your fingers. Hey, Ron, did you have anything about
Well, you're, I don't know if it's my phone or your phone that's breaking
it's
up. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. So it wasn't just me. All right. So
nope.
Food related. I fed the entire wrestling team today, both JV and varsity. Does that count as food stuff?
Yeah.
Packed all the stuff up, loaded up fruits and meats and all kind of cool stuff, and tried to keep it close to paleo for them, just to give them some energy and let them kind of roll out on the mats. But fed the entire wrestling team today. But other than that, it's just been a lot of working out and eating for us around here.
Well, that's basically, wrestlers don't eat that much anyway, do they?
Are you kidding me? They don't eat the day of or the day, you know, they don't eat the day of, maybe the day before they eat very light, daylight, but the moment a match is over or the moment weigh-ins are over for the match, they will eat your entire house to the ground.
By the way, I just figured out why my phone was cutting out. It's my beard rubbed up against the here, so I make sure I don't do that. I think that's what
it's
that scratching noise. Is it still doing it?
Yeah, it's still doing it. Yeah,
you're
still
doing it. Remember, I was talking this morning when I was doing the food news. Remember, I said, did I lose you? Because it seems like you, I can hear it, but all of a sudden, like it cuts off, and it seems like it just goes dead.
Well, if that's the case, Laurie, you're going to have to run the rest of the show all by yourself, because Aaron's got a wrestling match, and my phone's not working.
It's your show.
Because my whole plan for being on the show got wrecked today. So, yeah, it looks like you're going to be by yourself, Laurie. You got Captain Technology Destroyer on one line, and you got me, who's just bailing out to wrestle.
Well, hey, Ron, we'll let you go do your wrestling match, and if you want to come back, I'm going to cut your line off. If you want to come back, you're always welcome while we bring on our guests, and have fun.
All right, brother.
And tell the boys to pen them.
I miss you guys, if that counts for anything.
Yeah, I miss you too.
I miss you terribly.
Yeah,
please. Cool. All right, I'll try to get back with you before we get out of here.
Keep up the good job.
Later.
Take care.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right, well, Laurie, is my phone still cutting out?
Not just me, I told you.
Well, I'm going to bring on our next guest, and then if I have to disappear, Laurie, the whole show is yours. But
our
next guests are Saber Ricci, the chef to the stars, and Brett McKee, insanely good Brett McKee. So I'm going to push these little buttons here, to push that one, and I'm going to push that one, and hopefully we have both guests online.
My
you guys
God,
both
you pushed push those buttons. You pushed those buttons so good I could feel it right through the phone.
Saber, are you there?
That's what I need. That's
yes,
what I needed.
I'm
I needed
here.
Some, I needed, some, I needed someone to push my buttons at high noon.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Brett. Or good afternoon, I should say. It's only
yeah,
9
yeah,
here.
It's good morning to you. It's good afternoon to me.
Okay.
True.
Yeah, Saber, are you calling for Hawaii?
No, I'm in California today. So in not so sunny Southern California.
Right.
Yeah,
hey,
it's actually chill, freezing here.
You could come to 80 degrees in sunny Charleston, South Carolina right now today.
That sounds really, really fabulous. That's what I'm used to. This is kind of crazy. So
rub it in there, Chef Brett. But Saber, I'm gonna let you start since this is your monthly segment where you get to talk about stars and the horoscope and all those fun things. And ladies are always first. And Brett and I will try to keep our mouths shut and be quiet while you give your little presentation, which probably won't last very long. But did you have anything in the star-studded land that you want to tell us about this morning?
The star-studded land. Well, normally I would be talking about Sagittarius's today, since we are in the month of all of our Sagittarius's out there. But since Brett and I are on the show today, and I know he's Libra, a Libra one, I wanted to talk about a cocktail. It's kind of a festive cocktail. It's for Libras, especially because in my book, Sexy Star Sign Cooking, which I'll talk about a little later. I don't know, Brad, if you know, I sent you my book. I sent you the first one, at least. I know that.
Of course,
but, you know,
I have it right on my shelf.
Yeah, well, then you know I have like 8 foods that are especially for Libra, and cranberry happens to be one of them. So I thought, being that we're in the month of December and we're, you know, festive cocktails would be something that everyone would enjoy. I did a little take on one for you, especially as a Libra. I hope that's okay, Brilliant, that I'm deviating a little bit here, but I this is an honor of, you know, the insanely good Brett McGee.
There we go, the insanely good Chef Brett McGee cocktails, cranberry cocktail. I like that.
Well, it's sort of a take on a white Cosmo. So it's made with – this is a drink for two, since this is all about love, you and your special someone. So basically it's
– She's listening.
She is, okay. Hi, Kathy. We're going to take
I hope her name is Kathy. Yes, it is. Kathy, yes. She's listening there. Okay.
Well, good morning, Kathy. I hope you guys will mix one of these up tonight. So we're going to take 2 ounces of cranberry vodka in a shaker with this is what you need for the drink. You need cranberry vodka. You need 1 lime cut in half. You need white cranberry juice, some fresh cranberries, and some soda water, a lime, I already said the lime, but we want to zest a little of that lime before we cut it in half. So anyway, mix 2 ounces of cranberry vodka, the juice of half of a lime, 2 ounces of white cranberry, a splash of soda, and then chill your martini glasses and line the rim with some lime and dip in sugar. Of course, that could be white sugar, red sugar. Brett, maybe you have a sugar in your line that,
French toast sugar and give it all those flavors.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. I was thinking about that.
And it's not sugar, it's sugar. You know,
sugar. Okay,
yeah,
some
yeah.
sugar. So, yeah, to add a little sugar and spice.
And everything else.
Yes, exactly. And then shake that up in a martini shaker and pour in and garnish with a few fresh cranberries. And it's not only delicious, but it's very festive looking. And in honor of you, you know, of course, I don't know, Brett, what you know about Libras, but I'll just say a little bit that Libras are in love with love. And
let me tell you about last night then.
I don't know if that's going to be – well, actually, anything kind of flies on this show, right?
Everything goes today.
He's got it, he knows.
Yeah, I didn't know what we were really going to talk about. I haven't guessed with someone before, so I just thought we were going to kind of shoot from
well,
the hip today.
Let me do my part. Here's where I plug in and I say something about your website, Sabre. I say you need to go to www.sabrericci.com to find out more about her Sexy Star recipe book and all her other books, and that way I can give you a plug, and you can see her website here on her page and go to her website, and that's next. And then what I do is I say, okay, Chef Brett, let me just talk to you for a second. Good products. And
oh, boy.
I'll tell you, your stuff is excellent. Well, you guys all got the samples. I'll tell you. You know, last night I've got a big event on Monday night, and I used some of that coffee bacon and maple rub for some pork butts last night. My God, that was so good. So Monday night we're going to do a little pulled coffee bacon and maple barbecue with homemade pimento cheese, butter pickles on these little Hawaiian rolls, basically Sabres Hawaiian-inspired venue over there.
Oh, my God. Sounds amazing.
But, yeah, for the holidays, the insanely good products are doing good. I've got a lot of people asking about those knives, and what they need to know is those knives are all custom-made, and they're a two-week lead time on that.
Well, they better hurry up, then. Christmas is coming.
I know. You know, here's what we've got today. You know, the show can't be too long. My 15-year-old daughter has a little boy coming to pick her up, and I was just in the middle of sharpening that 12-inch, chef knife. On my counter as he's coming in, it's a Dexter inspiration for this little boy coming over. We have the 12-inch knife. We have a really thin boning knife. And then I have the turkey basting injector right next to him. So, and before he came over, I lined the house in plastic so he can walk into that today. He's going to have an insanely good time when he comes in the door.
Yeah, really.
Hey, I have to ask Brett, your little zipper warmer thing, what do you call that? The thing we put your cats in?
Oh, the little the insulated food carrier.
Have you ever run it through one of the X-ray machines at the airport?
I haven't. You can never use it as a judgment. And did you get the cavity search after that? Because you tried to attempt that?
Talking about a turkey baster,
just when you get the cavity search, here's what you do for the intimidation factor. You turn around and say, give me two. that'll scare them off.
Well, that little thing works, by the way. It doesn't work when it goes through that X-ray machine, but it does work to keep your casseroles warm and your food warm, because we packed it up and took it to our neighbors, and it kept everything very warm inside. You can find that on your website, too. And how much do one of those things go for?
Well, you know, 35 to 50, you know what we're doing. And here's what I'm going to do, and this is what I want to tell all of your guests for today. For today, if anyone goes on www.shopinsanelygood.com and they enter when they're checking out, if they enter the code Grilliant Radio, they get 25% off site-wide.
Wow. That's cool.
Really?
That's
really
what we got
nice.
Today. So until midnight tonight, as they check out.
One listener we have, you better hurry up and go out and hit www.shopinsanelygood.com.
You know, if the one listener doesn't do it, you guys just go ahead and go on there.
Okay.
It's cool. You know, it's cool. We're getting a lot of orders in for all of the spices. And you know what we're starting to get is next week we're going to start doing some videos. So when you buy any of the oils or vinegars or rubs, any of the food-related products, you know, what we talk about is bringing my 40 years of culinary experience into your home. So there's going to be a recipe attached to your product, and then there'll be a little code scanner that you scan up, and then, boom, on your iPad or your phone or your computer, I'll come up and I'll be doing a demonstration of the product, using it for one recipe, so I can show you one application for the product.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really
check out
cool.
His website, like he says, and punch in. Use the Grilliant Radio to get 25%
Grilliant
off
Radio
on your order
25%.
Today.
I'm on here right now. I'm already doing my order. And I did want to mention one thing. I was in Hawaii, Brett, when I got my samples. So my husband, you know, who also is a chef, decided that he was going to try some of the products. But anyway, he said that not to worry, that he's planning to make it up to me and I'll know what he means soon enough. So I'm assuming that that I have some of these goodies coming for myself for Christmas.
Oh, well, there you go.
We went round and round about this last night because I was like, where are my samples? Because, you know, I've been gone. I came back and I had to go to Vegas. But anyway, I was a little disappointed, but I guess you have like two customers now instead of one.
Good. Well, he better make up for it and start getting it back. Now, Saber, here's my goal. In 2014, sometime, you and I have to joint venture on a dinner.
I know. I want to do it. In fact, we're going to have a whole conversation about this because I'll be in New York in January. I'm going to be in Hawaii. I leave on Monday to go back to Hawaii, and I know that the holidays won't work, but we'll figure something out. I'd love to come to South Carolina. I have a couple of clients there, so we need to talk. But one way or another, we'll make it happen. L.A., New York, South Carolina, Maui.
I know. I'm trying to get you. I do have that one, big celebrity that, when it happens, I've got someone up in New York trying to sign the contract now. And
mm-hmm.
we were supposed to do a New York, an L.A., and a Miami deal, but it looks like it's just going to be New York. But, we're going to make something happen with the two of us and, do a little joint venture.
That
insanely
will be
good
fabulous.
Way better than that.
Hey, Laurie.
I love it.
People, listen to these people with all the places they're going. We sound pretty boring, don't we? We just sit on our little island and we cook on our big green egg and we don't go anywhere.
Here's what's going to happen. We're gonna pull you along with us and we'll go live from here. We have brilliant radio.
There you go.
That.
I got to ask you, one other thing, too, about your products. You had some wood cutting boards that were shaped like hearts. Do you still have those?
Oh, my. Yeah, I've got two of them left. I mean, here's what was great. I'm like Giuseppe the food guy and Giuseppe the wood turner. So we found this one. I've got a lot of people that do tree service. So we found this log, and it was about an 8-foot piece, and we cut it, and they were God created that little heart shape. So I took the bark off, and I got my sanders and my butcher block, and I turned into a wood turner. And, it's just really cool. So, they sold really fast. I'm holding on to two of them because I've got someone that wants them. But, you never know what I'm going to come up with. And that's the great thing about this. If you see something that you like on that site, these are not things that you're going to find in stores. These are one-of-a-kind, passed-down heirloom products that you're going to get. And, 25 years from now, someone in your family is going to say, God, I want that. I remember that bowl, or I remember that knife. I remember that unique cheese or charcuterie board that was shaped like a heart. So some of these things, I might just get 20, and when those 20 are gone, you can't ever get them again.
Yeah. I never saw anything like it. I saw them come up, and I said, I cannot believe the cutting board is made shaped like a heart. From the wood,
yeah.
And like you said, it's
well,
yeah.
That's just that Saber said the Libras are all nothing about love, so everything about love. So my heart was beating so hard that it jumped right out of my chest and formed this piece of wood.
Everybody check out his website, and it's getting deep in here, I can see. Go to www.shopinsanelygood.com. Also, with Saber, go to www.saberrici.com. And Saber, how's the book going, by the way? You said you were going to go back and talk about it. How's the book tour going?
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of the book?
The book's going good. I mean, with a lot of support from some good friends. I've been doing two articles a month on Chicago Sun-Time with Jenny McCarthy, and so she's been plugging it. And I just have to say, for anyone who needs a gift, for someone who has absolutely everything, Sexy Star Sign Cooking, an astrology cookbook for lovers, it's such a fun book. So, it's little, it's inexpensive, and it's just a fun gift for the person that has everything, because it's a novelty book. It's not just a cookbook. It's a book that you can sit around and talk with your friends over dinner about their sign and about their, of course people always find, wow, that does sound like me. So for all you people who need something for the person that has everything, go to saberrici.com or amazon.com and pick up a copy, Sexy Star Sign Cooking. It's really...
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have a copy of it. It's great, and I'm going to give you a couple of plugs on all of my pages today because I think everyone should have it for their stocking stuffer.
Exactly. Well, I guess we're out of time here, and I appreciate the both of you joining us this morning and helping to entertain us and keep us posted. And I guess we will talk again. Have a Merry Christmas season, and we all get together. And it sounds like South Carolina may be the place to be since it's the warmest place. Well, actually, Hawaii would put that either, Saber, but we all need to get together. and maybe, like you said, to agree an idea of a video show at some location in Charleston, South Carolina.
I love it.
I want you to look into the stars and see if there's a meeting with all of us in South Carolina somewhere.
I definitely will, and I'll let you know.
All of you guys have a great holiday.
You too. You too, and you and yours, and can't wait to do it again.
All right.
Have
yes,
a great
everybody.
Weekend, guys.
I think that little kid is about to come knock on the door. So
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, go get him. Go get those guys ready. All right, later. All right, guys, you have a great holiday.
You too. Bye.
All right, thanks. Juan joining us, and we're going to take a brief break here. And Laurie, you're going to need to do a little bit of food news here while I try to find out if the Peterson brothers are going to be ready to join us here in a couple of minutes. And for those who don't know the Peterson brothers, known as they do parodies on music. And if you haven't seen their videos on YouTube, they're fantastic, and you have to check them out. I posted some on our Facebook page, and we're excited about having them coming on the show to find out some of the new things they're doing. They've got a new parody coming out on Monday that we'll be talking about. So everybody hang tight. I'm going to play one of the Peterson Farm Brothers songs. It's called I'm Farming and I Grow It, which when you hear the music, you'll know what parody that's from. And we'll be right back here in a couple of minutes. But hopefully the Peterson Farm Brothers will be joining us.
When I'm up at 7, sunrise gives me a glimpse of heaven. I get right to work, a farmer's life can be a little berserk, yeah. This is how I roll, I feed the cattle till their stomachs are full. True and right, that's my belief. What's for dinner? I say beef.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
When I step to the bunk,
yeah,
this is what I see. All the hungry cattle are staring at me. I got passion for my plants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm farming and I grow it. I'm farming and I grow it.
When I'm in my tractor, I got more power than an arc reactor. And when I'm in the field, I try to raise crops to maximum yield. This is how I roll, without me the world be out of control. The hours I work, there is no equal. Gotta feed the mouths of hungry people.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side. When I step to the bunk,
yeah,
this is what I see.
All the hungry cattle are staring at me. I got passion for my plants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm farming and I grow it. I'm farming and I grow it.
Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah, yeah.
Cattle need water, man. Crops need water, man.
We all need water, man. I'm farming and I grow it.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work outside.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
We work outside.
I'm farming and I grow it.
And that was the Peterson Farm Brothers, and I'm farming and I grow it, and they'll be joining us in a few minutes to talk about their new YouTube video on farming world. And I can teach you famous band. People don't know what I'm good about.
Really, your phone is really cutting out bad. You're not there. Hello?
All right, we see you.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here, but it's putting me dead. You keep cutting out.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to play another song and see if I can set this phone back up to make it work right. I'm going to play a little song here by Paul Nance, and then we'll be having the Peterson Farm Brothers on. So everybody hang tight.
I keep lying to myself, pretending I don't care, trying to hide my feelings, but I know they're really there. I can't face the truth, my heart won't let me lie. There's an aching in my chest with each and every tear I cry. Soaring high above, looking down on me, flying high as you spread your wings in an endless swing, so peacefully, with every prayer, you're here by my side. Up in heaven, watching the angels fly. How I long to hold you near, instead of holding your pillow tight. All alone in this big bed, missing you more every night. It's been several years since you've been gone, and this aching in my heart still keeps going strong. Soaring high above, looking down on me, flying high as you spread your in heaven, watching the angels fly.
And we are back, I hope. And Laurie, I readjusted my microphone. Hopefully everyone can hear me now.
You sound really good right now. You sound very good.
Nothing like Blog Talk Radio and modern technology to screw up a good radio show. But anyway, sorry about the technical difficulties, folks. We were trying to get it back together here, and I guess you can hear me now. But what I was saying earlier, Laurie, when I played the other song by the Peterson Farm Brothers, I could see you doing your special dance, and everybody, Laurie has a special dance. I kind of call it, it's kind of a combination of like the, you remember the Michael Jackson Thriller video, how they used to dance? you have those moves thrown in with a little bit of belly dancing.
Oh, of course. Well, I got the Lebanese in me.
Oh, well. Anyway, sorry, folks, for the technical difficulties, but we did play the a few minutes ago the Peterson Farm Brothers song, and hopefully you could hear that. It's, I'm farming and I grow it, and I think everything's working again here, and I should have the Peterson, one of the Peterson Farm Brothers on joining us this morning. If everything's working okay, let me press this button, and good morning. Do we have one of the Peterson Farm Brothers with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hey.
We hear you fine. Sorry, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties this morning on the internet, but I think we're back at up and running. So who we got?
Yeah, this is Greg. This is the oldest of the Peterson Farm Brothers.
Hey, Greg, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be on here.
Well, we played your song a minute ago about, and the song is called "I'm Farming and I Grow It," and we were chatting a little bit about your parodies and how you guys have become sensations on YouTube and the farming world, and how the heck did you guys get involved in getting into the parody business? When did you guys start doing that, about a year ago?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half ago, and, you know, I kind of just had the idea to do one. I was in agriculture communications journalism at my journalism major at my school, and so at my university, and so that kind of sparked my idea to make the parodies. But of course, you know, when we made our first one, we had no idea the success that we were going to have.
Well, it's amazing. The first one, I guess, that you guys came out with is the one that's the farmer style.
The one that you played, "I'm Farming and I Grow It," is actually the first one we did. That was a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And then "Farmer Style" we did about a year ago, last December. And "Farmer Style" is our most viewed video.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play "Farmer Style." I've got the file here, and it's a great video, folks. If you haven't seen the video on YouTube, you got to check it out. And by the way, I do have a link to the Peterson Farm Brothers site on YouTube here on our website. All you have to do is click, and it'll take you to all of their different videos. But let's go ahead and play that song, Greg, and we'll come back and then chat a little bit about the new one that's coming out. I think the new one's coming out on Monday. We'll come back and chat about that. So everybody hang tight. This is the Peterson Farm Brothers, and the song is called "Farmer Style." We'll be right back.
Working farmer style. Farmer style. We are the Peterson Farm Bros, and we're farming and we grow it. We love agriculture and we want the world to know it. Farming is a way of life with many different flavors, being stewards of the gifts God gave us. Out here on the farm,
we're running green John Deere tractors.
Out here on the farm,
we work in many weather factors.
Out here on the farm,
we're working hard to raise your food.
Out here on the farm,
on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you.
Hey!
It means the world and we'll never ever cease to be. We need to aid. We all need farmers to provide us with the food.
Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work. Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work.
Hey.
Farmers are working harder than you might imagine.
But that is just because we have a job that is our passion. We will work sun up to sundown time and time again, as if working for the Lord and not for men.
Out here on the farm,
we get away from life of city.
Out here on the farm,
the countryside is nice and pretty.
Out here on the farm,
we work together as a family.
Out here on the farm,
on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me, and should be to you.
Hey!
It is a world and we'll never ever cease to be. We need to eat. We all need farmers to provide us with our food, 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 food.
Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work, 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 work.
Is what we feed our cattle, so they grow big and strong, and then become the food that keeps us living nice and long.
Our crops like corn and wheat help make diets complete. Without the farmers working, we would all be starving.
You know what I'm saying? Working farmer style.
Thank a farmer.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for your food.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
And that was the Peterson Farm Brothers, and we have one of the Peterson Farm Brothers joining us this morning on the show, Greg Peterson. What a great song, and if those folks haven't seen your video, the parody video, it's fantastic. So you guys, I think, got like something like 11 million hits or something on that YouTube video?
The one you just played is actually up to 14.7 million.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, did you have any idea that it would take off like this?
No. For the first video we put out, the highest number that my brothers and I, you know, our goal was 50,000 views, and I think we got that in the first day or two.
Amazing. It's just so amazing. I mean, it's a great video, and I guess it's done a lot for the farming industry too, which is why you guys did this, and it's just turned out to be a phenomenon. And you've got a new video that you're coming out with, I believe, on Monday. It's a parody of a Katy Perry song.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about this one we're putting out on Monday. It's a parody to the Katy Perry song Roar, and we're changing Roar to Chore. And so it'll be about feeding cattle, and we think it's gonna be a pretty good one.
Oh, I love it.
Well, you guys have become like movie stars doing this, and everywhere you go, everybody recognizes you. So how does it feel to be famous farmers now?
it's pretty weird. My brothers think it's pretty funny because we're, you know, pretty normal people, and we kind of came across the fame overnight, and so we just kind of laugh at it. But I mean, we're not like Justin Bieber or anything. We're not famous everywhere we go. We're kind of just famous in ag circles, and so it's nice to be able to retreat away from, you know, kind of the famous feel. Like, I feel sorry for celebrities who have to deal with it 24/7.
Well, you guys can put your John Deere hat on and put on your flannel shirt and probably blend in at a tractor show. It's probably a lot easier than most guys can, right?
Yeah, that's what's nice.
So the new, it's called Chore. The new video is coming out on Monday, and I guess you're launching on your website and on YouTube. And can you give us a little sneak peek about what it's going to be about? I assume about chores on the farm, right?
Yeah, it'll be about chores on the farm. It'll be about taking care of cattle, and we try to get a lot of funny stuff in there, and I try not to give too much away from our videos, but since I'm doing an interview with you guys, I'll sing a little bit of the chorus for you. How about that?
Oh, cool. That'd be great.
All right, here it goes. I got the eye of the bovine at dinner time, staring through the sunshine, cause I am a farmer, and they wanna see me chore morning, morning and night, cause I am a farmer, and they wanna see me chore.
Oh, bravo! How you
that is fantastic. I mean, we got the exclusive
really
here. That's fantastic. So that's coming out on Monday on YouTube. That's fantastic. See, you never knew you were a big time singer until this all happened, either, did you?
See.
Well, I've always done a lot of music stuff. I was in a lot of choirs growing up, and but yeah, you know that it's kind of every musician's dream to get your music listened to and heard, and so it's kind of a dream come true for me. But definitely never thought, yeah, that I would have millions of views on YouTube.
But it's so much fun to dance to. That's what it is. It's kind of such a good beat. Yeah.
Yes, definitely is. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to be on our show. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play one of the other songs, which was it's a fresh breath of farm air, and everybody will know based on the music what that's a parody of. And we'll play that, and then we'll chat when we come back here a couple minutes, and I'll let you go. So everybody, hang tight. This is the Peterson Farm Brothers. The song is called A Fresh Breath of Farm Air. We'll be right back to talk to Greg.
Now this is a story all about how
our life is spent wiping sweat off our brow.
And we'd like to take a minute just to stop and say
what goes down on the farm in a typical day.
In central Kansas, born and raised on the family farm is where we spend most of our days. Chilling out, feeding cattle morning and night, and all doctoring the ones who ain't feeling all right.
When we finish with that, we do our best to provide by growing all your food up in the countryside. We make sure to be safe so our mom's not scared, she says.
We do many different tasks day after day, so when we start to get behind, it can get pretty crazy. Fixing tires, building fence, chasing cattle back in. We bale up the hay so that we can start stacking.
We grow wheat, corn, cattle, beans, and hay. That provides you with the stuff you use every day. We plant the seed, fertilize it, pray for rain, and keep reading the word so that we can stay sane.
We work in the sun and we work in the cold.
We farm when we're young and we farm when we're old.
If anything, some could say this job is tough, but we're like, nah, forget it.
It's a job that we love!
We pull out of the yard about 7 or 8 and we yell to the cattle, yo, see you, smell you later! We gaze on the farm with a peaceful stare as we all take in a fresh breath of farm air.
And that was the Peterson Farm Brothers, a fresh breath farm air. And we got Greg Peterson joining us this morning. He just gave us the world exclusive. Got to hear his song for the first time on Chore. And I have to ask you a question, Greg. So you guys got 14 million hits. Now, how are you able to turn that into a financial? I mean, do you get anything financial reward from that?
Kind of, you know, some people joke that, you know, how's it like to be rich and famous now? And we laugh at that because, you know, we've dealt with some fame, but we're definitely not getting rich off our videos. YouTube pays us, if we can put ads on our other videos besides the parody songs, because, YouTube's very, they have to make sure that you own everything in your videos before you can advertise on them. And so since we don't own the music on our parodies, we can't advertise on them. But we have lots of other videos on YouTube, and we have advertisements on all of those. And, of course, those do get quite a bit of traffic from people watching our parodies. And then also we sell some Peterson Farm Bros, like merchandise, like T-shirts and posters and stuff. And so we get a little income off that. And then I do quite a bit of stuff as a public speaker and as a presenter at different ag conferences and stuff. And so so it's not like it hasn't led to opportunities anyways.
Now, if people want to find out more about your products, like your T-shirts, hats, and all that, can they find that on that YouTube link, or do they find it on your Facebook page? Where's the best place to find that?
The store should be linked in the description of every single one of our videos. It's also on our Facebook page. There's a tab there on our Facebook page, and it should be linked on our YouTube channel as well.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time to be on this show. It's really exciting to see Farmer Boys making it big and getting the word out about farming and you know, what farming does for America. And I think there was on one of your videos that showed that a farmer produces food, and I don't remember the exact number, a certain amount of people each farmer produces. Do you remember the numbers in your video? This is like a big billboard in one of your videos.
Yeah, the statistic, and it goes up every you know, couple months, obviously, but it's one Kansas farmer feeds 155 people, and so that's just the statistic. I think that's per year, so that's pretty cool.
Well, people don't think about what goes into our food system and what you guys do, and we appreciate what you do out there. And I've always said farmers, it's more of a risk to be a farmer than it is to be a stockbroker because you got to deal with the weather and bugs and all the other things that go into it, and we thank you for you know, doing what you guys do, and keep up the good work and getting the word out about farming and the industry as a whole.
Yeah, well, thank you, and we'll continue to do our best for sure.
All right, and good luck with the new video. Everybody check it out on Monday. It's debuting, and you'll be able to find that on YouTube, and you guys take care and come see us sometime when you if you've got any new stuff, you want to bring it on Great Ideas, you're always welcome.
All right, sounds great.
All right, take care. Everybody check out the, like I said, the link here on YouTube. You've got all their videos and really cool stuff. And what a neat thing, 14-plus million viewers on that one video.
I know. It's horrible. When people, you know, we'll get more now from it, from the show, but when people check it out, it's really, it's pretty interesting what their little concept they came up with, so.
Yeah, and they've made, you know, they've let people know what farming's all about. A lot of people don't appreciate what those guys go through, and their videos have brought them out to the forefront, and it's really good what they're doing. It's turned out to be kind of a not only entertainment, but also it's very informative and educational too at the same time. So, Laurie, speaking of educational and food, do you have any more little brief food news stories you want to tell before we sign off on the show?
Oh, you know, I already signed up. Let me go back.
Well, I tell you what, we can talk about. I tell you what we'll do. We'll talk about your cheese omelet this morning. By the way,
oh
Paul,
boy, yeah.
Laurie made. Well, first of all, when I make a cheese omelet, it has a little bit of cheese, it has an egg, and it has mushroom and peppers. But when Laurie makes cheese omelet, it's called cheese omelet, and it has a little bit of egg and a little bit of mushrooms. It has lots of
no
cheese.
Tell me what happened. I woke up this morning. I'm going to make my sexy man a nice omelet with cheese. That's what happened.
Yeah,
and I was at the store yesterday, and I bought the extra sharp cheddar, which I never bought before. I love it, but I thought maybe you love cheese and the dogs love cheese, so everybody will love it. Come to find out, you don't like it, and even the dogs are not eating the sharp cheddar. So I get to have it all to myself. But, yes, you're right. I grated the cheese all nice. I had mushrooms, scallions, bacon, and the eggs, and I put some half and half in the egg to scramble it. And you said it was overload.
Well, it basically tastes like cheese.
That's what you said. I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? I make it.
No, it was good.
It was good. Yeah, but I was
and by the way, too, tell everybody about my casserole last night.
How long do we have? With all the ingredients you put in that thing? No, I think you better tell.
I'll give. Well, I get the Reader's Digest version. She saw me last night making a casserole, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "It's just called Leftover Casserole Surprise." So everything was left over from Thanksgiving. We had rice, we had squash, we had
stuffing,
we had turkey, we had onions, we had mushrooms. I put sausage in it and combined it all into one big giant casserole dish, put it in the oven, and took forever to cook. It was already pre-cooked, but it still took forever to cook, but for about an hour at 350 to 400 degrees. And Laurie, oh yeah, I forgot to also put all those herbs in it too. Wasn't it good?
It was delicious, and I went back for more. I wasn't going to have to go back for more.
No, it's kind of funny. I hate to throw anything out, and Laurie said to me that she would have thrown everything out, but I decided to make it casserole.
I throw everything out. I throw everything out. I don't really want this anymore. It's 2 days.
No, 2 days, my butt. If it's been in the refrigerator for like 12 hours, you go in the refrigerator and start throwing things out.
I know, I'm going to throw it out. I don't want this, do we? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll find something. I'm like, what are you going to do with this? Leftover, like, carrots and potatoes. I'll find something. And you do it. You really do, make it, everything taste good, so.
Well, I know if Aaron was here right now, he'd be laughing because I make everything in one pot or one casserole dish, and that's how I make my soup, too.
Yes, you
did. In fact, when the show's over, I'm having some more of that leftover casserole surprise. And,
I think I'll join you. Is it trolley for wine?
Yeah, I think we're playing wine time almost, I think. But people, there's no way I could write even a recipe for it because I couldn't duplicate it if I even tried.
Well, you couldn't. I kept saying, what are you doing now? What are you adding now? Like, just let me do this. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is he doing now? You're putting basil in there and what other herb are you putting there? Mint? You put some mint, which was nice, just a hint of it.
Oh, yeah. I took mint, basil, and like I said, anything that was in the refrigerator, literally, I cleaned out all the Tupperware. Everything wrapped in tinfoil. The only thing I didn't throw in there was that last little piece of pecan or pecan pie, however you want to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought about it, though. I actually thought about it.
No.
Anyway.
Well, you had the yams.
Well,
they were sweet, so you had them there.
Yeah, there were yams in it, too. I mean, it was everything in there. But anyway, I guess they're tired of hearing about my casserole surprise. But did you have anything else you want to add before I find a song for us to disappear into the atmosphere on?
No. Does everybody have a great weekend?
No. Yeah, everybody. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, and Christmas is just around the corner. I don't have my notes in front of me, Laurie. Next week we've got Jesse. What'd you say?
You just hope everybody has a nice Thanksgiving.
Oh, I said we did. I said everyone. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Anyway,
next week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have Chef Jesse Jones. Yes, Pow Man will be joining us next week, and I don't have my notes in front of me, but I know we've got, I think, Natalie DePriest coming on next week, too? I believe she is, but I left my notes over on the table. And then the following 2 weeks, we're going to be taking a break for the Christmas holidays, so there won't be a live show, and then we'll be back on January the 5th. So everybody, appreciate us, joining us each and every week, and thank you to all our guests. Thank you again to George Geary. Thank you to Saberici and to Chef Brett and McKee, and also the Peterson Farm Brothers for joining us this morning. And I've got to find a song to play, and I was trying to find a Christmas song, and I can't get them to load here, so I got to keep talking until I can get the button to work. It's not working.
Why don't you just sing like the Farmer Boy guy does?
Oh, I can sing like, just sing it just like the Peterson Farm Brother did. That's pretty cool, by the way, for us to get an exclusive. It hasn't been released yet worldwide, and we got the exclusive on our show this morning. That's pretty cool.
Everybody loves you.
Anyway, I got one. I think it's going to play. Everyone have a nice week, and come see us again next Saturday. I'm going to play Santa Claus Boogie Woogie. You like that song, right, Larry?
I love that song.
All right. We're going to sign off. Everyone have a nice weekend. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Santa Claus is coming in a boogie-woogie choo-choo train.
Train.
Look out.
and checking all around the world. Want to know what's going on with every single boy and girl. Said, great gosh almighty, much to my surprise, nobody's been naughty, everybody's been nice. Now Santa likes to boogie, Santa likes to dance, Santa likes to rock it, likes to go real fast. Santa likes to ride in the boogie-woogie choo-choo train. Santa's got the L's working, working overtime. He's doubled up production on the toy production line. Got to get a better plan, got to find a better way. We got toys for the boys and girls all over the place. Got them stacked to the ceiling, got them sticking in your face. He says that this year we're gonna take the boogie-woogie choo-choo train. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming in the boogie-woogie choo-choo train.
Christmas tree, they're doing a Santa Claus movie.
Santa Claus movie.
It's a Santa Claus movie.
Santa Claus movie.
You gotta take some time to believe in Santa Claus. My Uncle Henry's got a bad back. When he tries to walk, you hear him pop and crack. But at Christmas time, the spirit sets him free. He jumps and hollers doing a Santa Claus boogie. It's a Santa Claus boogie.
Santa Claus
movie. It's a Santa Claus boogie. You gotta take some time to believe in Santa Claus. All right. And shimmy like an Indian dancer doing the Santa Claus boogie. It's a Santa Claus boogie.
Santa Claus boogie.
by Ronnie Getman on the slide guitar.
Believe in the Santa.